Caribbean Mystics Podcast,
where we marry mysticism, superstition, and lore. I'm your host, Paulina.
And I'm your host, Gabrielle. And we are your resident Caribbean mystics.
Join us today as we explore the depths of real supernatural stories
told by real people located right in our very own backyard.
Today's story comes to us from Angelica, a single mother of a toddler, doing the normal bedtime routine they do every night. Except tonight is a little bit different. It's Halloween, and an unexpected visitor makes contact.
My name is Angelica, and I am originally from Jamaica, but I've been living in the Virgin Islands for many, many years, and actually between the Virgin Islands and England, because I'm also British. And I have a lot of stories because I am also a psychic medium, and so I've had many, many experiences of spirits and entities. Most of the energies that I have encounters in my home space have been pretty much just curious, if anything else, or just passing through. I would have a lady either once a week or twice a week, but she would literally pass through where I had my bed positioned and just walk through. So I changed the position of my bed and I didn't have that problem with her anymore. But I do remember having an experience with, it's not quite someone who's passed on. It feels a little bit more malevolent. So it feels like, and I hate these terminologies, but it does feel like a demon than it does an actual spirit, a ghost. I remember seeing it almost in the corner of my window. It's very dark. And when I say dark, it's almost like a darkness that you could put your hand through. It's so dark. And then it either been 7 foot tall when I've seen it, or it's been very small. So this particular one was very small. Looked almost amphibian, but it wasn't amphibian. So it was like a person, but just with small limbs and a small stature. And it was just crouched in the window. It's very fleeting. It's not something that you can sit and look at for minutes on end. It literally is like a quick second and you see it and you're like, what, did I see that? When it leaves a feeling. So it, you know that, yes, you didn't just imagine it. You actually have a feeling, or had a feeling after it left. And that was the only energy that I've ever felt that was really, I would say, something that I wasn't welcoming. This one was the most recent, and it was actually during Halloween. My son and I were in the bedroom, and I have a 2-year-old toddler, and we were getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden, he stops and he says, "Mommy, Mommy, look, look." And he's pointing outside the window, and I asked him what he saw, and he said, "Wani." It sounded like Wani, but I could not catch all of the tilts in his voice, what he was trying to say. So I asked him again and he said, "Wani," and that's what it sounded like. So I said, "What's Wani?" And he said, "No, Wani, him, he's at the window." So I turned the light off to see if there was actually someone outside, and I saw nothing. Turned the light back on, and then he continues to tell me that there's Wani, and he's smiling, so he's very comfortable. We've had experiences already with him seeing entities, so I'm not worried at this point. I said, "Okay, let's go to the bathroom." So we went into the bathroom, we're going to get showered, and it's our playtime as well. He stops and he points in the hallway. He says, "Mommy, look, it's Wani, it's Wani." And now he's getting a little excited. I say, "Okay, what's Wani looking like?" But he's just so in the state of just letting me know that this person or entity is standing in a hallway. And then all of a sudden, I felt this almost like hairs on the back of my neck. So I get up and it's almost as if something switches on inside of me. And I become extremely agitated. I am just like, "You need to leave." So I'm having a conversation with this entity. And while I can't see it with my physical eyes, I can see it almost in like a haze. And it has its head kind of cocked, looking at me, kind of more curious than anything else. But it's making me very uncomfortable because there's an arrogance behind it. It's very much almost like a challenge. So I say, "You need to leave." And its reply was, "You don't have the power to make me leave." And at which point now, Christian, my son, is getting really, really agitated. I turn around and I literally felt like I was 10 feet tall, and my voice changed and I said, "You need to get out. Get out my house. Get out. Leave. You are not welcome." And it was telling me the same thing. "You don't have the power to let me leave." So I go into deep prayer, 23rd Psalms. By this time, I'm like, "You cannot tell me you cannot leave. You need to leave." Christian then points to it and says, "Get out. You need to leave." Which, I mean, in other circumstances would have been funny, but I was in such a state. Finally, it left. I got him dressed. We went back in the bedroom. He looked out the window and says, "Mommy, look, Wani. And he was telling me that it was still outside. And at that moment, I turned and looked. It's a very weird thing to describe. I could see, not with my physical eyes, but just almost like a dreamlike state, but I saw people crossing, not walking, but like almost floating by. It felt like I was witnessing a parallel universe or a parallel dimension. People were just floating by the window, and at the same time, this one person was making me know there was no harm intended. It just was a little curious, and the fact that Christian called its name, so it stopped. And then I kind of got out of the trench and I spoke to him and I said, "It's okay, nothing to worry about." We went on with our evening as planned. Later, a very good friend of mine, my best friend actually, I was telling her the story and she said, "When was it?" And I told her and she was like, "Oh, that's when the veil was the thinnest." And it just made so much sense. The one entity felt like someone who had transitioned on. It felt like it was passing by, and my son saw it. He had a communication with it, and it was more out of curiosity than anything else why it entered my home. It was testing me and telling me that in my own home I didn't have power to tell it to leave. It was the first time I've ever had something challenged me in that way and tell me that I didn't have the power, because I've always been very powerful in just removing entities from my space whenever it made me uncomfortable.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Caribbean Mystics podcast.
Hey, hope everybody is doing good today and was completely entertained by that new story that we just posted.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a Halloween spooky Caribbean story at that with our storyteller, Angelica.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like what makes that story so special is Angelica is actually a medium. And so she is very familiar with communicating with other beings. And mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see that telepathic communication take place in this particular instance. And we can get a glimpse into what that life is for her regularly.
Yes. And even her son, too, who probably inherited that ability as well. So to see and to listen to her story about him witnessing this Wani character outside a window, first of all, creepy as fuck. If my son was pointing out the window on Halloween night, dark, and we're done taking our bath, I'd be like, okay, let's go back to the room now.
Correct. I'm let's good. Mind our business.
But she handled Facts. That with such bravery and power, which a lot of us sitting on a couch in broad daylight watching or listening to Scary Story would be like, whatever, but okay, let's see how you feel 10 o'clock at night, 3 in the morning, when it's all quiet and dark, and then you feel something, you feel a presence in your house.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are these times where just like you have these experiences and it feels more heightened. Obviously, on a day-to-day basis, I feel like the nighttime, having these experiences may not be as scary if it is happening in the day, but at the nighttime, where there's almost this energy of the unknown that tends to flow into the space, I feel like people tend to be on edge when it comes to stuff like that. And on a yearly basis, mm-hmm. this is definitely like quintessential Halloween yes. energy. And yeah. so I feel like going into the history of Halloween is going to be really good for some of our listeners to understand why some of that energy might be present, and maybe in understanding they won't be as triggered.
Yeah, of course. Halloween is known as the time when the veil is the thinnest between the two worlds or dimensions, as some people theorize. And this is not a new concept. This has been a belief that has been around for thousands of years across many different cultures.
Yeah. So what I kind of came up with Halloween is initially it was actually a tradition called Samhain. And it has been celebrated since ancient times, as Paulina noted. And when we talk about a veil being the thinnest, for those of you who are not familiar with that type of terminology, it's the veil between the spirit world and the perceived human world. There are some people who feel like there is this veil that kind of shields the ability for spirits to pass through. And there are people who believe that there is no veil and that we make it up in our mind in order to make living every day, you know, a little bit more feasible, especially if you're somebody that has a hard time coming to terms with the fact of supernatural occurrences or paranormal experiences. Maybe it feels better for you not to come to the terms that maybe we aren't by ourselves. And for some people who understand the veil, I also think it's important to note that when we talk about spirits being able to travel between the veil, we're also talking about your spirit. And so it's not just the spirits of the dead who have passed away that are able to come back. People during this time will notice that their dreams are a lot more lucid, they're a lot more vivid, and they have these very strange dreamscape experiences. And it's believed that because the veil is the thinnest, your spirit is also traveling between realms and dimensions.
I like that. I never heard about that one or thought of it that way, that your own spirit is leaving this earthly plane to go explore the other dimensions. But I also feel like we do that every night, but Halloween for sure. And this is also not just on the day of Halloween. This can be extended up to November 2nd for some traditions, like Dia de los Muertos, for example. This Mexican holiday, it's believed that the veil is the thinnest as well. It is the thinnest between October 31st through November 2nd. They believe that the gates of heaven are open at midnight, and on Halloween, October 31st, the spirits of children can rejoin with the family for 24 hours. And then on November 2nd, the spirits of adults can do the same. I love this tradition and this holiday because it doesn't have to be all dark and spooky. It can also be a celebration of life, afterlife, and a celebration of your loved ones that have passed. I think a lot of us have seen the movie Coco, and maybe that's a terrible reference, but I love the displaying of the altars, everybody celebrating in the cemetery and creating these beautiful altars with offerings and food and drinks and laughter and retelling memories. So I think it's also a beautiful holiday as well. But there's another celebration called Fetged, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right. It's a Haitian Day of the Dead, and it's Fet, F-E-T, Ged, G-E-D-E. So sorry if I'm massacring that word. But it's celebrated every year, usually by voodoo practitioners, and I'm sure other people on the island celebrate too, from November 1st and the 2nd, as a way to pay respect to the loved ones who have passed on.
Yeah, I actually, around Halloween time, I feel like there is and maybe it's because I understand the historical context, or maybe it's just me as an energetic being picking up onto the energies of that time of year. But for me, I always feel very much wanting to offer some form of homage to my ancestors that have passed away, known and unknown. And so you can do that through the lens of the ancestor altar, like you spoke about. And an ancestor altar is super easy. You literally just, you create a sacred space in your home and you could take their picture. They could be a picture by themselves, a picture with you. And you just put things on the altar that they enjoyed. Like if your grandfather liked to smoke tobacco, maybe put a pipe on the altar or burn a candle, you know, put food, make sure that you keep the hygiene of the altar up. But it is a way of telling the spirits thank you for all that they do, because whether we believe it or not, I feel like the spirits are always working in the background and are assisting us and guiding us, making us go left instead of right and avoiding the accident.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And I do too as well, love putting up an altar on Halloween. I try to have one year round, but you know, current circumstances, I don't have much room where I live, but that's even no excuse. Altars are really fun to make. So it's something to consider if you're new to this practice or magical way of life that you're exploring. So it's very strange. Dia de los Muertos, Samhain, Halloween, Fetged, and then even the Roman Catholics, All Souls Day, all coincide and all happen around October 31st to November 2nd. So I think there is some merit to the quote of the veil is the thinnest around this time, just like Angelica was saying in her story.
So something else that I wanted to get into that I thought was very interesting about this story, and I feel like we are going to see this same kind of conversation pop up in a few of our stories where children are involved. But she, Angelica, has a son. He's at this point in time in the story, he's 2, he's a toddler, and you can see that he is very much connected to the spirit world and being able to see. And this is a common fixture mm-hmm. in a lot of Caribbean households where it's very noted that children have this ability to just be connected to all the things that are around. Most times it's, again, seen through the lens of fear. However, I think that in understanding, you can remove the fear from it. So, for instance, with her son, again, he's 2, and so he is closer to the veil. And so when we talk about that veil, we're talking about that veil between, you know, like life and death and this world and the afterworld. And the idea is that because children are closer to this proverbial veil, they have the ability to connect with both worlds at the same time. And as you get older and, you know, society's indoctrination and you think in a more concrete mm-hmm. way, you tend to lose a little bit of that imagination and that connectiveness and that trust that you have mm-hmm. that what you see is what you see. But I think it's very interesting that in her son connecting with this spirit and calling its name, it felt an invitation to come into the home and to kind of like stand its ground.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And just to kind of piggyback on what you were talking about with the children, it just makes total sense because you look at it like this little spirit just came into this physical form only 2 years ago. They were wandering around in the other side or wherever for who knows how long, and they just came into this planet. And I think about that a lot with my son. I'm just like, oh, you're so new to this world. Like, and the older we get here, the more adjusted we become, the more concrete, like you were saying, in this earthly plane. People say that this is the most like realistic place to be, and that a lot of spirits and other beings from other dimensions or other side of the veil want to be here because this is as real as it gets, as opposed to the other realms where maybe you hear about like the astral plane where there's a lot of like flying around and freedom and all types of woo-woo when everything's kind of like this airy element. But here it's very solid and things take time. Things don't manifest instantly like you hear about in other. And I'm saying theories because honestly, nobody really knows right now. But yeah, so I think it's really cool though that Angelica is fostering this gift with her son, as opposed to like, I think a lot of parents get really scared with this kind of thing, that because it's unknown and they're just like you were saying, Caribbean culture, you're just like, no, we're just gonna ignore that. Like we heard in the last story in episode 1, don't bother, don't listen to it, just ignore it and it won't bother you. But here we have like a mom that's fostering and nurturing
her psychic child. So I think it's kind of like an interesting and kind of a cool perspective too, because that can also lead you to know how to protect yourself or create boundaries, energetic boundaries, if something negative does come your way, as opposed to having these abilities and not knowing what to do in a certain situation.
And I think that the contrast between episode 1 and 2 is very interesting, as it both revolves around children. And also, I feel like, so multiple ways to skin a cat.
Okay.
There, you know, the way that you decide to relate or decide not to relate is completely up to your personal journey and perspective. Like, in episode 1, we saw a bit of avoidance and a bit of, like, mind your business. Like, mind the business that pays you, and we don't know what this is. We don't need to know what this is. Like, as little information as we have is okay with us. And that is how they handled instances of not being able to, you know, like, explain away certain things. Whereas we see in this episode, there is more of a... there's no fear around connection and communication. There's more of a acceptance. And I think that because Angelica is already so connected to her own abilities, it makes it easy for her to understand, like, you know, understand those abilities and find ways in which she can foster her son's abilities without bringing in fear. Because I do believe that there is something about fear that makes these entities feel attached to people. It encourages them to, it's almost like fear feeds them. When you encourage fear, there is a lot of different things that could happen. They're usually the things that you don't want to happen. I've never heard of a story where someone's fear, like, chased away a ghost or something malevolent. Not necessarily a ghost, because not all ghosts, you know, are malevolent. Most are not, I believe. But fear oftentimes is what encourages and attracts them to a person or a specific space.
I feel like fear, if you look at fear like an energy, which I think it is, right? It's like a thought. It's an emotion that we're emitted, just like love. It's like an archetype. So like when people say, oh, call upon this saint or this goddess or this archetype to for protection, for healing, for this, for that. So I feel like when you have fear, you're calling upon that energy, just like what you're talking about. And so you're going to attract things that feed off that, that bring that, that embody that. So I can totally see that. And that's why anytime something creepy happens to me, I'm always trying to think of, for me personally, I like Archangel Michael, and I don't know why. I did not grow up religious at all, but this one particular angel, I just like look at him like this badass, and he's like super buff and big, and he's got like a sword, and he just looks like enormous. And the second that I think about him and I'm like, hey, I'm like feeling really nervous, can you come through and kind of like watch over me and my baby, like that fear kind of like goes away. I visualize him like sword fighting like with these demons. It's so lame, I know, but it makes me feel better, because it's essentially what I'm doing is I'm calling upon that saint, that angel. I'm invoking him, and I feel like that's what happens with fear too. Yeah, so this kind of goes into the next topic about protection and power, what Angelica did.
I feel like yes to everything that you said, and I don't think that it's lame that you envision Archangel Michael, you know, like literally fighting on your behalf. However, you can bring that vision to the forefront that allows you to feel empowered is like completely up to you. But yeah, Angelica, because of her connectivity and to the other realm or other realms, as we saw at the very end, she was seeing multiple things happening at once. She had a pretty good command of, you know, like, no, like you ain't, you, what you mean? How am I going to tell you to leave out of the home that I am paying rent for? And Lord knows the rent prices are exorbitant these days. So, you know, like she called upon, she initially started with, you need to leave. And then when it started giving her lip and kotai, that's when she was like, oh no, absolutely not. Like, maybe I can't make you leave, but my God can. And so she goes to what she knows, which is prayer. And I think that it's super important you know, I hope that in these stories, people see that there is a multifaceted approach to spirituality and energy work. And, you know, you'll see in a bunch of different episodes how different people use different means of protection. And so for personally me, it depends. Like if I'm trying to protect my home, I'll envision angels that are surrounded around my home. And I know that I know that I know that after I have prayed for it, it's done. And so sometimes I'll see like, you know, like the white flashes just move past my window super quick. And we don't have no white doves in the island. Like, they, you know, like, you don't normally see completely white birds unless you're close to, like, a beach where it's a seagull or something. And so in my mind, I know that that is exactly what I've asked for. Energetic protection around my home by way of angels. And so I think that people, you know, like, it's whatever you feel called to. You know, like, the white light of protection, crystals, prayer.
Yeah.
You know, going to the Bible if that's where you feel... holds the authority of your protection, like by all means. I just think that what's very potent about Angelica's story is she stood her ground and she didn't cower on the side and allow this entity to, you know, like tell her what was going on in her own house. She was just like, no, like absolutely not. Something that Angelica always tells me is the living is always going to be more powerful than the dead. And so there's nothing that isn't of this earthly plane that is more powerful than you. And, you know, the higher power that you are connected to. And so I just, you know, I think us being connected to our own power and sovereignty and finding ways that allow us to feel safe. So for me, I use a multifaceted approach. I sometimes use protection cells. Sometimes I use prayer. Sometimes crystals. Sometimes I call the angels. Basically different. I have a different flavor every day of the week of the type of protection I call in. And I think that that is okay. And however people decide to gather that protection is up to them.
So you would be considered like an eclectic witch because you utilize all different kind of little things that you're for your, that work for you. I also consider myself an eclectic witch, too, because I relate with so many different types of either deities or goddesses or modalities of spiritual paths. You know, like I have a connection with Ganesh, who's a Hindu god. You can use whatever works for you. And biggest thing of all, it's really like a mind over matter thing. Like sometimes we'll use these tools like, you know, like salts or actually
for our listeners, Gabrielle
did a protection charms workshop at Sage Sanctuary like a couple weeks ago or so. It was so awesome. And we made oils and herbs, like for herb baths. And I've been using that oil. And you know what's really strange is I still use it for specifically, I had in my mind this one thing that was bothering me at night. Like I have a really weird dream world interactions for years. And maybe I'll talk about it in my origin story. But anyways, I was telling you before, I said, I think my little nightmare demon is back. So I've always been convinced I had a little nightmare demon that would come in and send me all these weird ass nightmares. And as soon that night that we made that protection charm and I didn't even put on the oil because I was letting it steep, I didn't have those dreams anymore, those nightmares.
Yay.
So I'm like, okay.
Saw your head on.
But yeah, so I mean, it could be the tools and everything, but I think a big part of it too is like that power within yourself and that mindset of standing your ground and holding the fort down.
I completely agree. I think imagination is what brings us closest to God. Of anything else, it is your imagination, your ability to create, you know, like women being able to create life. God created the earth, you know, like we are here by means of the energy of creation. And so because we have the ability to create within ourselves and with each other, you know, like I feel like that is our connectedness. That is the threads that bind us to the divine source that created us. And so I feel like, you know, we just by means of being able to imagine it and to creatively come by something makes it that much more potent and powerful. And so I am somebody who believes in respecting, you know, like, all things. Like, I'm definitely not going to pull out a Ouija board and call forth anything that wants to talk. You know, I don't even use Ouija boards at all, to be honest. And, you know, like, I also acknowledge the fact that if I am living my day-to-day life and I am trying to be the best person that I can be and I'm doing well by people and I'm trying, you know, like, my best to show up in a fully aligned, authentic way, and I have something that come up into my house talking about, you don't have the power to make me leave. Like, hell, I don't. Like, I literally was minding my business and you broke up inside of my house talking about, you, I don't have the power to make you leave. Like, I don't accept that. Like, that is something that in my mind, I don't accept. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm out here in the rigors of the earth world just trying to make a dollar out of 50 cents.
The rigors of the-
Correct. Trying to make a dollar out of 50 cents. And some random entity can just come into
you
my
house.
You
come up in my house.
Correct. And believe me, like, no, absolutely. There's no way. Like absolute hell. Correct. Like, absolute hell. So, there are things that I just will not accept. Like, I will not accept. It's one thing if you go out there and you're dabbling in things and you don't have respect for what you're doing or the foundation or the foresight. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're out here wishing bad on people and, you know, like, kind of dabbling in the energies of, like, negative and, you know, just your vibration is low and the vibration that you put on others is low. But if I out here trying to do good in the wall and these things come about my path, you absolutely have no right to be in my life. And you will leave. And that is a promise.
Mic drop.
Correct.
Snap, snap. Did you just spin? I'm like.
I did.
So we are so excited because we're going to have more episodes coming up. And not all of them are about, I guess, people that thought to protect themselves. So, like, you can kind of see the results of what can happen to someone that is kind of kidnapped by a spirit in a sense. But yeah, anyways, were there any final thoughts you wanted to say?
I would say that I'm waiting for the rain to end because it's hitting against my roof and I don't want there to be, like, staticky sounds. And it sounds like it's getting harder.
At this point, I've kind of accepted, like, hey, things are going to happen and not everything can be perfect on the sound side. And
we live on an island.
If anything, it makes it more authentic. Gabby, like, I was listening to one and I could hear, like, the roosters crowing and I'm like, you know what? She's on an island. Like, this is Caribbean Mystics. There's going to be chickens and goats and all kind of things going.
Okay, so then I'll keep going. I would say the last thing that I'd like to impart on people is just figure out what works for you. You know, like, we, in our audio trailers, we have a part in it that says, it's not a matter of if, but when. I think most people live their life having at the very least one supernatural / spiritual / you know, esoteric, you know, experience. And so having tools in your tool belt to empower you versus you walking through life fearful is what the name of the game is for Paulina and I. Like, we don't want anybody to walk through life feeling completely powerless. And yes, there are instances where you may need someone to come and bless the house. You may need something a lot more spiritually impactful in order to support if you're going through, like, some kind of major haunting or, you know, you have a poltergeist attached to you. You know, like, of course, there would be instances where you on your own may need some support. But I am just of the belief that those instances are very few and far in between. And when you come into contact with something that makes you question your safety, you have the power within you 99.9% of the time to banish whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Thanks. I'm super passionate about this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, she is, you guys. And if you don't know, and obviously a lot of you are very new to our podcast because our podcast is new, but check out Gabrielle's socials because she has so many interesting videos ranging from magic to all Caribbean related, mind you. Weather, the island, culture, Rocky Road, ice cream, ranting, and she's got such great content. So I'm just like putting you blast right now because she deserves it. She's so well spoken. Sometimes I sit here and I'm like, and you're like,
no,
well, I'm like, can't talk like her.
I want you to know that I feel like you severely undercut yourself all the time. Like, sometimes you come through here and you come up with, like, you're very much logic driven. And so you'll be like, really? Oh, yeah.
I feel like the opposite.
I know it seems like, you know, Paulina's the woo-woo one, but I promise it's me. Paulina's very logic driven. Oh, I know you are. And so anytime we have to put together discussions, she's always the one coming with like science, whereas I'm like, no, like it's aliens or like science, like absolutely not. That was not a lightning strike. That was like clearly another being coming from another dimension. And so
it's so I appreciate the balance. It's so funny you say that. Because I'm discovering this about myself, Gabby. Like, hello. I was like, I'm all into like the mystics and spooky and unexplainable. But lately I'm finding I'm like, maybe I'm not as, I'm still always questioning. Like, even if someone's telling me a story, I'm like, oh my God, that's so crazy. But then I'm like, what if it was that? Like, what if you got carbon monoxide poisoning in your house? Like,
yeah. Right.
But maybe that's good.
No, I completely understand. Thank you so much for tuning in to our second episode. Happy Halloween, happy Samhain, happy Dios de los Muertos. Thank you for showing up. And we hope that you'll continue to show up. Share this with all your friends, all your family, anybody who you think is going to be interested.
Yes, that's right. And since we are new, we would totally appreciate if you enjoyed the show. 5-star review, write us a little something. You know, we're always looking out and seeing who listens to this junk that we're putting out here. But anyway,
and if you didn't like it,
yes,
if you didn't like it, don't do nothing.
Just you can unfollow us. All right, bye,
bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Caribbean Mystics Podcast.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share with your family and friends. Like, follow, and subscribe to keep up with all of our spooky Caribbean content.
Do you have a story you'd like to share that took place in the Caribbean? Email us at CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. That's CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. Or check the show notes for more info.
Caribbean Mystics is created and hosted by Paulina Creaky and Gabrielle Carrard. Theme song is Folktale Juve Rhythm by Umi Marcano.
Sage Sanctuary. This one-of-a-kind metaphysical shop is located on St. Thomas in the Yacht Haven Grand Shopping Plaza. They offer a unique collection of esoteric books, tarot and oracle decks, crystals, incense, apothecary herbs, and mystical resources to support the exploration of the sacred self. The sanctuary is home to multiple mediums, channels, and gifted psychics offering a glimpse into the seen and unseen. Akashic record readings, tarot readings, aura photography, dream interpretation, astrology sessions, various modalities of Reiki, energy healing, and more. Additionally, the sanctuary hosts a community calendar of magical events, including weekly and monthly hands-on workshops, expert lectures, guided meditations, sound baths, certification classes, and more. Make sure to call Sage Sanctuary today at 340-775-7253 or visit their website at sagesanctuary.com. That's Sage, S-A-J-E, sanctuary.com. This episode of Caribbean Mystics is brought to you by Alexandra Marie Photography for all your life moments. Raw and authentic captures in the unique landscapes of the Virgin Islands. She specializes in weddings, proposals, events, maternity, senior portraits, and family portraits. And the great thing about it is she offers a local discount of $50 off and wedding packages and loyalty discounts for returning clients. She's available to shoot on St. Thomas, St. John, and Water Island. Alexandra Marie Photography. Call 340-690-2062 to book your next shoot or check her website at alexandramariephotography.zenfolio.com.